Where in hell can you go? Far from the things that you know. Far from the sprawl of concrete that keeps crawling its way. Keep your heart off your sleeve.
Guppy Productions presents Series 2 of From Colchester to Sulawesi, written for Combe Radio by Phil Boast and Paula Larcher. Episode 6 of 6, Concerning Village Matters.
We are on a daily basis learning more and more about the village in which we have come to live. Hitherto, visiting for quite short periods has been one thing, but living here, as we hope permanently, is different. We have at various times employed practically the whole adult male population during the construction of the lodge, and many of the women have provided food or done washing for us or have been integral to our lives one way or another. So, by degrees, we're getting to know our near neighbours. These are charming and endearing people who, for the most part, go about their simple lives in a quiet, unassuming way and are not at all intrusive into our lives unless we ask them to be. The children are beautiful. The young girls grow into beautiful young women, and some of them are absolutely stunning, despite their modest attire, which is mostly flip-flops, shorts and T-shirts. It is quite acceptable, it seems, for the older women to go about their village business in baby doll pyjamas, so anything goes, really, in terms of village attire. It must have been quite a shock, we suppose, when two white people turned up out of nowhere and built a resort at the end of the village. But they have taken it all and us in good heart, and they are now becoming used to our jeep going through the village carrying us or our guests, who are from all corners of the world, when for the village folk, leaving Bahowo is an event. Noman in particular talks to us about how we are viewed and the differences between our cultures. We discuss the small things mostly. For example, we apparently make a lot of noise when closing doors, and at first they assumed that we must be angry about something until they learned that this is just what we do. One thing that we find extraordinary is their power of observation and their constant, quiet awareness of what we and our guests are doing. There are no telephones here, apart from our mobile phone, and yet, if we go into town, they seem to know what we've been doing by the time we get home, and we have no idea how this happens. In some ways, our staff are far more aware than are we of what our guests are up to, and can tell you with no hesitation what a certain guest had for breakfast last Thursday, which is more than we could do. Perhaps our time and thoughts are preoccupied with planning and the whole and wholly new business of running the lodge, but we are being watched, and not in a bad way.
The village primary school lies adjacent to the lodge, and each morning at 7 a.m. we are treated to a post-dawn chorus of young voices as they sing their One Nation, One People patriotic national anthem whilst raising the Indonesian flag in the school grounds. The school is a disaster, really, in terms of its construction, and we have it on our avowed intent list to do something about it. Art and creative subjects aren't taught here, and we suggest that for now the classrooms could be brightened up a bit if the kids made some extracurricular paintings to adorn the uniformly drab walls. The headmaster is keen on the idea, so we supply paints and paintbrushes and await the creative results. Nothing happens, however, and a week or so later we ask if there is a problem. Perhaps the idea has been rejected by the teachers or the kids, but no, this is not the case, and the small project will go ahead with enthusiasm if we could perhaps please provide some paper. So here's an object lesson in humility for us, and we live and learn that when it comes to such things, nothing must be assumed.
Hello. is flesh and thunder loves me back. And in lightning, I can keep my energy intact. And when the lightning is like the sun, I feel what love could be. Truly illuminated, the future does lay landing lights for me.
It's September now, and the dry season is coming to an end. It's getting hot, and everyone, ourselves included, is looking forward to the wet season, when the banks of dark cloud roll in from the sea, bringing the blessed, life-giving tropical rain.
Time is another thing. We've tried to emphasise to our staff the importance that Western people place upon efficiency and timing, but aside from Newman, who gets it, we haven't got there yet. Aris is a particular case in point. He can't understand why, when a guest has done next to nothing but relax for most of the rest of the day, they and we will get agitated and impatient if he's 5 minutes late, turning up to drive them somewhere. What does 5 minutes matter after all? And it doesn't really, but it does, actually. We occasionally get called into government offices for specific appointments, which might be scheduled for 11:30 in the morning, and will probably happen sometime in the afternoon. We are learning the gentle art of patience when it comes to such things, but it's hard to break a lifetime of conditioning, and in this, as in so many things, we stand at the interface between our staff and our guests, trying to find a way to mix the oil and the water together. What we have to bear in mind is that our staff have had no previous experience of tourism, or with dealing with people from other countries and cultures, and that they too have been conditioned and have lived their lives in a place where time is a flexible thing. And if something doesn't get done today, it will get done tomorrow, and nobody will be any the worse for it. Newman, Aris, Sulce, and now Raymond are a part of our daily lives, and we have come to know and love them all. But Phil and I have already had several did-they-really-do-that moments. We are learning, however, that to apply Western logic to Indonesian behaviour is not always helpful, and we must try to adapt to this place in which we have chosen to live. They didn't ask us to come here, after all. And something else we are quickly learning is that we can't get cross with them. They take it to heart and sock, and you lose them for a week. So we encourage and suggest and hope that they get it eventually. In my previous life, I had better than 650 staff under my command, and now I have 4. And there are moments and days when I wonder which is easier. But this is our life now, and it's going to be a much better life, all things considered.
Although we carry on regardless with our new lives, underlying all of it, there still lies the matter of Oni and our documents, and in particular the matter of land ownership. If we don't find resolution to these things, anything which we do here will soon become academic, because we won't be here anymore. It's been more than a week now since our meeting with Oni at the Polder, and we've heard nothing, so we phone Amelia. She confirms that Oni has not contacted her offices or produced any of the documents, as he was ordered to do. He has defied police instruction, and this has now become still more serious. The police hold certain powers, but nothing, it seems, is cut and dried here, and if, as we fear, Oni is in negotiation with others regarding the selling of our land, he may have decided that any trouble with the police is trouble worth taking for the benefits which he will receive from the transaction. Things untoward are happening occasionally in the village. Cars with darkened windows are seen driving to the gates of the lodge, where they stop before leaving as quietly and mysteriously as they have come. So something is happening, and we ask Amelia what we do now, and she tells us that it is time to bring in the enforcers. We ask her, what are the enforcers? And as we understand it, they are about the Indonesian equivalent of the flying squad in London, there to do the dirty work when there is dirty work to be done. They will visit Oni three times. The first time they will ask politely for the documents. The second time they will ask less politely. And the third time they will do whatever it takes. And they always get their man, or in this case, their documents. This is starting to sound rather like a bad TV series, but it's out of our hands now. And so we say, fine, send in the enforcers. We will have to pay for their services, but we are already paying for the police presence at the lodge, so this needs to be resolved, and the sooner now the better. So we continue to live our schizophrenic life, with all the good things about living in our newfound paradise, the warm tropical days, the interaction with our guests, the diving and all of that, which is set against the troubles which have beset us for so long, and which could still send the whole thing crashing around our ears. We want to live here now more than ever, and we'll fight with whoever tries to take that away from us. And the next stage of the fight is about to begin.
Motherland, cradle me, close my eyes, lullaby me to sleep. Keep me safe, lie with me, stay beside me, don't go. Don't you go.
And that was the last episode of the current series of From Colchester to Sulawesi. Phil and Paula will return with more adventures from Bahowo Lodge later in the year. And both Series 1 and Series 2 are now available on Spotify.